It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
About anything else.
We don't want to know.
We're dedicated, yes,
to our favorite shows.
All my circuits.
Everybody loves Hypnoto.
Gary Dawg.
Larson at Blurnville.
Futurama.
Good evening. You are listening to a Rattlegion Broadcasting premiere podcast TV party tonight. I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And our favorite show this evening is The Cuphead Show, brought to you by the good people at Netflix Animation, King Features Syndicate. It's a syndicate, yo. And Studio MDHR. And here to push me in the pool and take over like the NWO is Alexis Haina. How do you do, madam?
Really, the NWO. That's what you're comparing me
we
to this
time. We are taking over.
Glad to be here. I've been so excited about this series coming out. Huge fan of the game. When I first saw this announced, I was excited. Then well over a year ago, they dropped the first clip of Wayne Brady as King Dice, and I couldn't stop squeeing, and I sent you the clip, and I'm like, okay, it's put it on the schedule. And you were like, it hasn't even been announced when it's coming. I'm like, I don't care. It's on the schedule.
Just, yeah, all of 2022. Just Cuphead Show until I got a date. So, all right. I understand this is based on a game, and I have never played the game. I didn't know what this was. It was you literally went, I want blah, blah, yakety schmackety. And I went, blah, blah, yakety schmackety. He's on the schedule now. However, my son, who I... His enthusiasm for this show and the game, and he's never played it either, but he's watched a whole bunch of Let's Plays for it. I almost made him host this. I was just like, yeah, I'm not doing this anymore. You're in charge. You talk to Alexis. So, I can't do that to you. But yeah, he told me all about the game, but I want to hear from you. Tell me about this game.
So this game got a lot of word when it was first being developed because it was coming from a very small company, Studio MDHR, which essentially is these two brothers in Canada. They started this game from the ground up. This was not a major corporation game. It was very independent, with one of the brothers, who was a previous graphic designer, actually hand drawing the animations and painting the backgrounds in watercolor in Photoshop. I remember seeing a long time before this game ever came out, seeing all of these news clips on geek boards about, you know, it's like, wow, keep an eye out when this comes out because it's going to be really cool. And I was very intrigued, not only because I love seeing independent games like this really come out and get their own, but I'm being the animation guru that I am. I saw the homages to classic Fleischer style animation in this, and I was extremely intrigued. So when the game came out, yes, I really got into it.
Was this like an Xbox, PlayStation type deal, or
it was download only for the longest time?
But
so,
like on traditional gaming consoles, not like on app and on your phone or something.
Oh no! I think you could get it on PC, but I think Xbox was the most popular download for it.
Okay.
But I just could not get over how gorgeous this game was. It's also a lot of fun, and it's not easy. This is actually an extremely hard game. Mm-hmm. It is like rage-inducing hard.
It's funny you mentioned that because I asked my son, I was like, do you want me to try to get you the game for your Switch? And he was like, I honestly don't think that would be a good idea. It seems like it's really hard. Like,
your son would throw his Switch through the TV.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for the warning then. That'll be off the list.
No, but but the thing is that it's also very... The platform itself is easy because it's most people when they play video games like Legend of Zelda and such, there's a lot of going back and forth and there's puzzles and you got to really figure this out. Cuphead comes in two forms. It's either run and gun, which is get from point A to point B without dying.
Are we talking like a side scroller or more of like a Halo Call of Duty kind of a thing?
Side scroller.
Okay.
Or it's a boss fight. Those are literally the only two levels in the game. You're either side scroller, get from point A to point B, or kill this boss.
Gotcha.
And all of the characters are inspired from Fleischer animation style, very rubber hose. And again, it's so much fun. It's stupid hard, but it is so cool and it's so much fun. And I love looking at stuff from the game. I love reading about it. And I was really excited when the show got announced because, like, okay, so you're taking this game, which has its roots in Fleischer animation, and now you're going to translate that. So we're going to see a show that pays homage to Fleischer animation. That's going to be awesome.
Okay. So they did. They made the show. It came out on
February
18th. And you, when we were talking before we went to air, you're like, hey, I have a whole lot of notes here and things I need to talk about, kind of informing my viewing of this. Because I really went in like tabula rasa. It was like, it's something she wants to watch. I can watch it. Thank God it's Y7. I can watch this with my kids. And I honestly, I'm curious to see what all went through your head while you were watching this and what kind of things you wanted to talk about. Because for me, it was, you know, it's an adorable little show. It has that kind of, that zany sensibility about it. But beyond that, I was like, huh, I'm going to struggle to find stuff to talk about here because it's okay. But for me, there was no wow factor. There was nothing I could really sink my teeth into. But for you, you were like, I have charts and diagrams and I have all kinds of things I need to talk about. So the floor is yours, madam. What are we talking about here?
I cannot get over how much I loved how the animation in this show pays homage to classic 1920s rubber hose. And I'm going to keep saying Fleischer animation, but for the record, there's several parts of this that I think also pay homage to early Disney and Warner Brothers. I mean, we actually have a segment in, I think it's the sixth episode, that pays homage to the skeleton dance, one of the earliest and most iconic of Disney shorts. I mean, there are multiple scenes that actually do. It's supposed to look like what's called tabletop animation.
What is what exactly?
Tabletop animation was a technique that was primarily used again by Fleischer. And I think the number one cartoon that you can see this in is an old cartoon called Popeye the Sailor Meets Sinbad the Sailor.
I'm actually vaguely aware of that.
What they would do was they would construct a 3D background, like out of clay and stuff, put it on its side, put a glass pane on top of it, and then put the cells of the animation on that glass pane. So it looked early when King Dice goes to meet the devil, and when they're in the graveyard, and even Cuphead and Mugman's house. They're designed to look like they're 3D in this 2D world, and it looks so cool, and it's such a great homage to that. I really hope that if not the game, then this series will inspire more interest in classic animation to learn these kind of techniques, because this is kind of stuff that is really lost to time. It's not something we think about anymore, and it's so cool.
Okay. What were your expectations for this show when they announced it and you saw some clips? What were you hoping it would be?
I knew that they were going to stay away from the straight plot of the game. I mean, again, it's boss fights and run and gun. You can't really translate that to a series. I will admit, I was hoping to get more of the Devil and King Dice than we did. I know a lot of people were a little disappointed that we didn't get more of Miss Chalice. She is been confirmed as a playable character for the DLC, the downloadable content that's coming out. That was just announced. She only appears in one episode.
Right.
But
Very much to the chagrin of both my kids, who were like, especially my daughter. My daughter's big complaints, not enough Miss Chalice and no mermaid. Like, she was like, flipped the table angry that there was no mermaid character in this.
Well, the other thing is that they've announced that there's actually like 33 episodes. They're going to do 11 show increments in different times. So we're going to get another 11 episodes in the near future. I don't know when. They haven't announced it. Hopefully, if I had to guess, I would say before the beginning of the fall, we'll probably get it.
I mean, if everything's done and they're just trying to wait time, what was it, He-Man? They did in July, and then they did the next set in what, November, I think it was,
something like that.
Yeah, so figure 4 or 5 months apart,
something. Yeah, so I know what's gonna, we're gonna get that, and I know we're gonna get more of the villains from the games. I mean, the mermaid, it's either Calamari or Calamari, that's obviously the joke.
Yeah.
And she does appear in the opening credits. And I know that we're gonna get more villains, because aside from King Dice and the devil, the only two other characters from the game, the villains, are Ribby and Croaks, the frogs, who I'm just going to say I think was one of the weaker episodes.
My son was so funny about that. Because every time something from the game appeared, he would get up and be like, and now let me explain who these people are. And I'm like, I'm watching this with one eye, and the other eye is focused on trying to get Blue Cross Blue Shield to pay my X-ray bill from last year. Like, that's what I mean. My kids were totally into this. They thought it was fantastic. And I had to hear about every element of this show that they could remember from the game that they saw. And meanwhile, and I'm like, utterly, this is one of those old man moments for me where I'm utterly lost at what I'm watching. Like, okay, it's fine.
And also the Root Pack. Were from the game. I could be wrong. I think they were one of the first bosses actually that you face.
Okay, who are the Root Pack again?
The walking, talking vegetables.
Oh yeah, I was having serious Pinky in the Brain vibes from that.
Brain Acres is where we belong.
That'll do, Carrot. the zombie eggplant, I think it was, where he animates a whole bunch of eggplants and they go and attack people in the grocery store,
and they get run over by the grocery cart.
The guy steps on them. So good. I was totally thinking about that during that episode.
Yeah, no, and I really like how they brought them up, because again, it's a boss fight. The potato hurls dirt clods and earthworms at you, and the onion cries, and you have to avoid the droplets from his tears, and the carrot actually summons floating carrots, and it's a joke because he has a third eye that he shoots rays out of. That's why I was taking x-rays, because carrots are good for your eyes. But obviously that's not going to work for the series, so I like what they did with that. And again, it's a classic setup. It's like, hey, I trust you. I shouldn't have trusted you. I think the favorite episodes of mine are definitely with King Dice. I have watched that clip of Cuphead going on Roll the Dice so many times. It makes me laugh every time. I'm a huge Wayne Brady fan, been a huge fan of him ever since he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway. When I heard he was doing the role, I was ecstatic. I really thought he captured, especially since King Dice in the games is very heavily based on Cab Calloway.
Okay.
His style and movement is very inspired by Minnie the Moocher. So the idea of, I was like, oh my God, yes, Brady's going to get this totally. And he's so suave and so slimy. And the episode's just so funny that the Cuphead has no idea how badly he's losing. And then Dice is figuratively pulling his hair out, trying to get him to win.
So the first episode kind of sets the tone for the rest of the show. I'm not going to read the whole plot synopsis, but the sum total of this is that there's a devil who collects souls, and he set up a carnival game in order to do that. They end up busting the carnival game and setting the souls free, but the devil is now on a mission to get Cuphead's soul, and that comes back around through several episodes, especially towards the end of season one, I guess we're going to call it. And one of the things that my son mentioned to me is that over the course of these episodes, he wished there was more interaction with the devil. Like, he wanted them to come back to that more often. And I wanted to get your opinion about that. One, what did you think of the first episode? And, you know, and did the stuff with the devil come out of the game, that sort of thing? Like how much of this, how much of the plot of these episodes was dependent on the game, and how much of it was an invention of the writers?
Well, the main plot of the game actually does revolve around the devil.
Mm-hmm.
The opening prologue to the game is that Cuphead and Mugman end up on the wrong side of the tracks one day and wander into the devil's casino.
They ended up in Detroit? What do you mean by the wrong side of the tracks?
It's literally the line from the game. They end up on the wrong side of the track. It's a cliche line that gets the point across.
I got it. Oh, God, we're in that dark alley I once wandered into in New Orleans.
So they're on a winning streak, and then the devil shows up and says, how about one more round? If you win, you get all the loot in my casino, but if I win, I get your souls. And Cuphead is too blinded by Richie, goes, hell yeah, throws the dice, and they lose.
Right.
So Cuphead and Mugman are about to lose their souls to the devil, and they say, oh, please, please, there must be something else we can do.
Can I ask a question? Do they get into a fiddle battle with him?
No.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
No? All right.
No fiddle battle.
Oh, fooey.
No, the devil says, all right, I'll make you a deal. I've got all these outstanding contracts for people's souls. Mm-hmm. Go collect them, and I will spare you.
You pay
and
your debt to me.
And that's the boss fights. The bosses are all the people who also owe the... There is a lot of people in Equal Isle who lost their souls to the devil.
That tends to happen.
And so that's the boss fights, is them going to fight these guys. So they changed that to a carnival. But yes, the devil is the main antagonist of the games.
Okay.
So it does work. They change, like I said, they changed it around so they're not fighting for the devil. Now the devil is on this mission to get Cuphead's soul because Cuphead played the game and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love that how he's just winning until Mugman accidentally screws him up.
So it's a funny first episode. I didn't start really paying that close attention until the second episode. So some of the stuff with the devil was a little lost on me, and I had to go back and read about it. But as far as like the animation style and everything, yeah, I know you keep saying Fleischer. Obviously, you're not wrong, but it also, I think, had a very Tex Avery aesthetic to it. You know, there's no rules, there's no physics. It's whatever we can do is a gag. It's plot motivated, you know. There's definitely a, and these are, I think, 15 minute shorts at best. Everything is moved forward by a desire to get from point A to point B. It's not more traditional like Looney Tunes type shorts where it's just, you know, 7 minutes of gags and characters antagonizing one another. Like, there is a story in each one of these. Which kept me interested. Because again, I wasn't sure what kind of format this was going to be, you know. And it's every episode they get into some sort of misadventure and have to fix it. Though there is one, and it kind of reminded me of, I think this is the next one with the baby. It kind of reminded me of those Roger Rabbit shorts we did when we I can't remember. I guess it was one of the Looney Tunes shows where at the end of it we did some Roger Rabbit stuff, where that one was a collection of gags, and that's episode
pretty
two.
Pretty much. I'm not going to lie, the baby bottle was featured heavily in the advertising, and I was kind of worried at first that they had added him as a new character through the whole series, and we were going to get multiple episodes of, oh, we got to deal with baby. So I'm kind of glad that he was just in one episode.
Yeah.
And it is a very classic setup. Someone shows, you know, it's like, oh, we got to watch the baby. Oh, what do you know? The baby is from hell.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. You know, we had the conversation about Uncharted where, you know, it seems like people watch old movies and they think they can write ones just as good, if not better, and they miss the point of those movies. And I'm watching that, and all I can think about is Easter eggs. But what cracked me up about Easter eggs was like this hillbilly child, you know, who was clearly neglected, who had a gun on him. That's all hilarious crap to me. Like, there was
I want an Easter egg. I want an Easter egg. I want an Easter egg.
It's very popular around my house around Easter.
I share it on Facebook every Easter.
Yeah. Whereas, and this is going to sound like it's a quibble. It's something to talk about because we're spending an hour talking about this. But it occurred to me, like, I don't know why this baby is so bad. It's adorable. someone saw the old episodes, the old shorts of a baby, you know, like Cicero, most recently from the new Looney Tunes cartoons, where we don't know why Cicero is the way he is either. He just is, and he's utterly destructive. And so it was a lot of that same thing. What sells it in this episode is one, Mugman and Cuphead's reaction to it. They have some really funny reactions, wild takes and whatnot. But also, the baby's expression never changes. He couldn't be happier to just destroy something. And it's always that one tooth out, kind of a high half-cocked grin. He's like, and stunts a piano on your head or something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, when he throws the dresser at them, I died laughing. It was just like, okay, that was random.
Yeah, it definitely felt like in a writer's room. They were like, how can we take the trope of the destructive baby and make it even funnier? And it was like, just up the gags. Make the gags utterly absurd and even more destructive is the only thing I've got there.
Totally, to the point that when Elder Kettle's helping them try to get rid of the baby, he's got an axe.
I was like, I think I actually blurted out, well, this got dark in a hurry. My kids are crying. They were laughing so hard.
No, that was really good. And I do agree with your son. I do kind of wish we'd gotten more of the devil. I said before, I really do want more of King Dice. And I probably could have taken more of Miss Chalice, but again, I think they're setting up for more.
Yeah.
They don't want to do too much at the beginning. And yeah, not every episode is going to revolve around that. So they experimented with what they got. We had a couple of episodes with other villains, like I said, the Root Pack and Ruby and Croaks. And we had a couple of episodes that were just, well, I don't want to call them slice of life, but it was just the Cups and Elder Kettle at home. Mm-hmm. And a little zaniness ensues. Like, you have a fairly simple episode near the end where the boys are mourning the death of their pet earthworm, mm-hmm. but Elder Kettle hears them talking and he thinks they're talking about getting rid of him.
Oh my God, that episode broke my heart. I'm like, this poor man. And that's the thing I wanted to touch on real quick is obviously they wrote it with a lot of care towards people who play the games. Mm-hmm. But as I talk about with any adaptation, if you're too niche, if you're too much for the fans, you're not gonna build any kind of a general audience who's not gonna have any patience. You lose people like me. Now, I didn't necessarily need my kids to explain to me, you know, every detail of everything that was happening. This was simple enough I could follow it. But I think remembering there are gonna be people like me who might give this a chance and watch, it can't be too in the weeds. You know, or the stuff that you're doing with the game can't be so far out that, like, I don't know what any of this means. What did you think of the Ruby and Croak episode? And were you happy with their translation from the game to the cartoon?
I thought the Ruby and Croak episode was one of the weaker ones, just because I thought some of the humor was a little eh. Mm-hmm. I get the point of the joke, but the way the Cuphead and Mugman keep fighting amongst themselves throughout the whole thing got a little old. The Ruby and Croak song was probably the worst song in the whole series, which also does go back. The game had some really great music used for it. They actually got a jazz composer to come in and do a lot of music.
The music, Alexis Haina of Honeysuckle Rose Creations, is fantastic in this. And I'm wondering if there's a soundtrack available so that you can go back and hear the great music that they include in this cartoon.
If not, I'm pretty sure there's a place where you can get the music from the game.
That is true. And that is Amazon Music Unlimited.
Better transition than usual.
Yes, that was seamless. You also saw me blinking at you in Morse code. Hey, I'm doing a read here. But in all seriousness, folks, as we talk about this rubber hose people game, we're doing a free 30-day trial of the Amazon Music Unlimited service, which is available at the link in the description of this podcast at getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. Again, it's getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. For your free 30-day trial of Amazon Music Unlimited, there's over 70 million songs, including the wonderful pieces of jazz used for this cartoon. And obviously, as she said, music from the game that's available and many other soundtracks, bands, anything else you could think to listen to. I mean, there's something for everybody on Amazon. So go ahead and click that link. Get your free 30 days. So if you like it, you keep it. You pay the monthly fee. If not, you can cancel at any time. No fuss, no muss, no contracts. All right. Moving on to episode 4 here. Handle with care. I don't remember this one.
This is the one where Bugman's handle breaks off.
Yeah, I love this episode. This is great. This was because and it was one of those like one of those really concrete things about me at times where I'm just like, I don't understand why they're cups. Why do they have to be cups? Like, just accept that they're cups. Okay, that's what they went with. It could have been anything. They chose cup. I get it. But you know, there's very much me like, well, if they're cups, shouldn't they do stuff about it? And one of the things I really like about this show, and this is an episode that definitely wades into all of that, is making use of the fact that they are cups. Mm-hmm. It's not just a funny animation design. There are times where they actually like drink themselves, or they, you know, or like you see the milk in the cup like spill out a little bit.
Yeah.
Things like that. And then here they talk about their handles breaking. And because, and if I remember correctly, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, Elder Kettle is, you know, is just telling them, oh, everyone's handle breaks off. And it's a basically, it's like a metaphor for puberty. I died. I was like, this is fantastic. What a great use of this animation style and a fun thing to do for a plot for 15 minutes. I thought this was great.
I do like that they actually use it. You have repeated shots of them picking, grabbing each other, or someone picking them up by their handles. Oh my God. In the baby episode, you know, where he breaks the gold, the baby breaks the goldfish bowl, and Cuphead actually puts the goldfish in his head.
Right.
And we never see that fish again.
It was good stuff. I'm glad that like they don't create this world where, you know, you have walking, talking plates and dishes and teacups and whatnot, and then do nothing with it. Like, they absolutely lean into that, which I think is effective storytelling.
Absolutely. No, that was really good. And oh God, the scene where Mugman is walking down the street dressed as a bride because he can't think of any other way to hide that his handle is gone than to wear a veil. I do also like their interactions with Pork Rind, who was a character in the game. He wasn't a playable, he was an NPC, but he was who you went to get upgrades for your weapons and stuff. He was the merchant.
Yeah.
So I do like that they, yeah. So I'm glad that they gave him a much more larger role. I love the episode where it's clear that he deals with black market.
That character, the big pig guy.
Yeah. That's Pork Rind.
Right. Okay. And then he like sends them on a quest and it was just to get them out of the store. And then they actually come back with a big egg or something.
Yeah. And he's like, I didn't want you to go to the, it's like, they're like, you sent us to Mount Eruptus. No, I sent you to Mount Eruptus cleaners. And he, oh my God. And then, yeah, the whole thing with the three-headed dragon, who was also a boss in the game. It just actually floored me when the egg hatches. It's a cute little three-headed baby dragon goes, aw, I know what I'm having for dinner. I was just like, whoa, not the line I thought they were going with.
Yeah, this one, I think it does deserve a little bit of time to talk about this. They clearly kept in mind that children are going to watch this. They obviously got a Y7 rating for a reason. But boy, this takes me back to like the old school Bugs Bunny, Warner Brothers, Looney Tunes cartoons, of where there is something there for the adults. It's general audience, but they're not pandering to children in any way, shape, or form. Like, this is clearly a juvenile show, but they know adults are going to be watching because adults played the game, and they're not afraid to, I'm going to say the phrase, but it hurts my soul to do it. They're not afraid to go there for the purposes of entertaining the adults who they know are watching. And so it really is the best kind of general audience show for that, in that way.
It's actually interesting that you bring that up, because when we talked about the Looney Tunes shorts, the new Looney Tunes cartoons on HBO Max, one of the things we talked about was how they are obviously using a very rubber hose, Bob Clampett inspired style, but it gets a little out of control sometimes. There's a lot of episodes we talk about how we felt that they needed to rein in and control the animation a bit more. Mm-hmm. I feel that Cuphead actually controls that animation better. Yeah. Obviously, it's inspired by the same kind of work. We have multiple characters that have the same, very similar style to what we see in the Looney Tunes shorts with the bulbous noses and stuff.
It feels very restrained, but in a good way. Like, these are the parameters we set up. These are the rules in which this world operates, and we're going to play in that world, as opposed to sort of the amorphous blob that Looney Tunes tends to be at times, where it's all over the place and you're not, you know, I've talked about this with anime, where I hate the transition in artistic styles. You know, it's one way here and then we do the close up and it's another way there. I would hate that with Ren and Stimpy too.
Oh yeah.
That drove me nuts.
Yeah. So I can't believe I'm saying this, but I actually think Cuphead has better animation than the new Looney Tunes cartoons.
No, I would absolutely agree with you. It's definitely richer and more dynamic, I think, than Looney Tunes.
Yeah, but like I said, I feel that they have a stronger aesthetic and they stay with the aesthetic. It doesn't feel as experimental as Looney Tunes does, which I'm not going to lie. For something as iconic as the Looney Tunes shorts, you don't want it to be that experimental. You want to have it a little bit more...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Under control.
Right. Episode 5 is Roll the Dice. I don't remember this one. Tell me about this one and what you think of it.
Wait, that's the one that Cuphead is on the show with King Dice. It's my favorite episode.
We'll talk about it.
Like I said, I don't know why, but I love it when villains who are always in control just completely start to lose control and are having the hardest time maintaining their cool. That's a trope that always makes me laugh. And yeah, the fact that, you know, he puts Cuphead on the show to get his soul for the devil, and he gives him Twinkle Twinkle Little Stars, a song he's got to guess, and even that Cuphead gets wrong. Oh,
that's a throwback to the xylophone bit from Looney Tunes, where they rig the xylophone to blow when he goes da 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 da, and Bugs.
Oh, those endearing young charms. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he always hits the wrong note, and you know, and it's
finally the villain is just like, no, like this, dun 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 dun, boom.
Yeah, every classic trope time. Yeah, so it's a throwback to that, which now that I say that out loud, and we've probably said it already, but I'll repeat it again. Clearly, the writers of this show have watched a cartoon or two in their time.
Oh, sure.
And a lot of that informs it here, but this is not coming across like a blatant homage or just plain old ripoff of classic cartoon tropes, whereas they're informing the things, but they're playing with them in a way that's fresh and inventive. Like I said, I got that it was the xylophone thing, but that's not readily apparent in the show.
Exactly. And yeah, Cuphead and King Dice's interactions are so funny. Again, you can tell that King Dice has never had a problem. The show is disgustingly easy as a method for the devil to get souls.
Not me.
But no one
artist.
Gets that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Sorry. I'm on a Daffy Duck thing, and I just want to yell out, "Not me, you slop artist!"
But again, it's so funny because this is obviously the first time that Dice has had to deal with a contestant who just is not working out. And he's like, "I've made it so easy for you. Why is this still failing?"
Right.
Again, I love that trope.
How could you be this dense?
Yeah. God. Even just little bits like he calls a helpline from Mugman and Mugman freezes and King Dice goes, "Well, it appears that your helpline is frozen in terror." Just the way he says that line just floors me.
All right. Episode 6, Ghosts Ain't Real. After watching a zombie movie, Cuphead and Mugman decide to take a shortcut through a cemetery. Yeah, this is what you were talking about before with the ode to the dancing skeleton and all of that. What did you think of this one?
Again, this was a beautiful episode because it's got homages to some really classic cartoons. We talked about the tabletop animation, which I think is really on full display here. You get the scene of them walking through the graveyard. All of the graves are 3D, but not like CGI 3D. They're made to look like they're claymation.
My son's reaction to this was pretty hysterical to me. He was like, "Why is it every time we watch a cartoon show, it devolves into horror, you know, into horror?" He didn't say tropes, but that's what he meant. He's like, "Why does this always devolve into horror tropes?" I'm like, "I don't know, man." Apparently people watch horror movies also watch classic cartoons.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pretty much.
There they are in the Venn diagram.
Yeah, pretty much. There's me right in the center. But no, I love the song. I love the design of the ghost. I love, like, so we got a bit that pays homage to the skeleton dance with them dancing to the Latin music. There's a bit that pays homage to another classic Fleischer short called Swing You Sinners when the gravestones come alive. Mm-hmm. And just a little, even the little bit at the end, which this actually I thought was very creative when they're in that one house and the ghost keeps showing them doors to open. And mm-hmm. every time they open it, there's something even worse behind it. I thought that was very creative. And I'm not going to lie. I've seen it where it's like, yeah, every door leads to something worse, but I've never seen it where the ghosts hold the doors. I'm like, here, open this one. I have never seen that before. Even again, I love the little bit of dialogue when they're running out. No more doors. Again, just that line kills me. It's so funny.
We talked about the Root Pack one already, and I've been waiting until we got to it to talk about these next two episodes because I really enjoyed this storyline with the sweater. So Mugman makes Cuphead a sweater that blocks the devil from taking his soul. It is an idiotic premise, but it works. It's great. You know, it's one of those things where they're not afraid to come up with something idiotic and just play with it and have fun. And as long as they're consistent, it's fine. It works. And so here, what it leads to is, because the devil doesn't necessarily present himself as an idiot as such, but he keeps going after Cupman's soul and electrocuting himself every single time. And he comes up with different, and he's coming up with the whole gag of this is that he keeps coming up with different ways to get him to take his sweater off, and they fail every single time. And he's just frustrated. And there's, for lack of a better phrase, there's dramatic tension in that there was another character that was like, hey, it was the accountant character.
Stickler.
Which was like right out of that one character from Soul. You know, it's just like, hey, the ledges aren't matching up here. And somehow this is the most important thing ever. And they need to get it done. So he's under pressure to get this soul and he keeps hurting himself along the way. I died. I thought this was fantastic.
Absolutely. It's an interesting idea because the sweater is made of invisible yarn. So it's an invisible sweater. And I know a lot of animators would have the sweater show up every now and then as kind of like a dotted line or something, mm-hmm. or like an opalescent kind of effect. They never do that. The sweater is always invisible. So you have an animated character miming. Mm-hmm. And again, that's not something that a lot of animators do, but I think it works to this style to have them do that instead of having it occasionally show up. And I do like the creativity that the devil does about trying to get them to take the sweater off to the point that he knows that Cuphead loves hot dogs and he tries to sell or give him a free hot dog. And the hot dog actually has writing on it. It's like one bite will unleash a month of sweater eating moths. So I was like, that's actually really creative. And so yeah, I love it. And yes, just how he constantly shows like, give me the sweater shock.
All right, so we got three more left here. Dangerous Mugman. Cuphead and Mugman burst into Pork Rind shop to play a Dirk Dangerous pinball game. Annoyed by the noise, Pork Rind convinces him to get a pack. Oh, okay, we talked about this already.
Yeah.
So we'll move on to the next one. Dirt Nap. Elder Kettle. Okay,
we talked about that one too.
Yeah, I was just I want to talk about it a little bit more. You know, again, what I like about the writing of this show is that they're not afraid to deal with some adult-ish themes, but deal with them in a juvenile enough way that the kids get it, everyone gets it. It's not necessarily stupid, but, you know, they remember what they are, and they're like, how can we take something that's serious, you know, an old man who feels like his children doesn't love him and want to put him in a home, and deal with that in a way, you know, and deal with that in this format so that it's still funny. And whether this was the intention or not, I actually felt bad for Elder Kettle. I legitimately was like, oh, this is all this. Like, I was more invested in this episode than I was in the previous ones where it's just, you know, zany happenings because it was an actual thing they're dealing with that's emotional. And so I know for a lot of people that maybe that might not have been their favorite episode, but it was for me. I actually like, oh, there's something here. There's actually something for me that's beyond just a visual experience of, you know, stuff blowing up and pianos falling on people's heads. So I really liked it.
It was very cute. Again, it's a classic trope, the misunderstanding, but it's still well done. Elder Kettle was not a playable character in the game either. He showed up occasionally to give a little advice to the cups. So I do like how they've built up his character for this. thought it was really funny.
He has a great line in the Root Down episode where, you know, because you think like he's just caring for these vegetables because he's a kindly old man. He's like, nope, we're making stew.
That was great. I was like,
and all the vegetables are like, oh no, and run off.
I love his bit in the baby episode where he comes back and it was like, door off his hinges, piano on fire, glass on the floor, dresser thrown through the wall, more fire. Yeah, boys will be boys.
Perfect.
I love that.
All right, wake me up when there's a real problem. All right, and then this last one here, and then we will start to get out of here. In Charm's Way. Oh, yeah. So my daughter, big surprise, loved this episode because Miss Chalice was there. So Miss Chalice reminded me, I don't know how much Family Guy you watch, but she reminded me of the one of Stewie's girlfriend's character, the little blonde actress. I can't remember her name to save my life.
Olivia?
Yeah, Olivia. She reminded me of the Olivia character. Similar,
I can see that.
Similar characterizations. What'd you think of this episode?
I was kind of surprised that we only got Miss Chalice for one episode. But again, I have to keep reminding myself we're going to get more episodes. And hopefully we will get more of Miss Chalice in the second increment.
What is she in the game?
Okay, this is where things are kind of weird. So there is a character in the game called the called Miss Chalice, but she's not playable. She's a ghost. She's like an angel. She looks like an angel. She's got a halo above her head. Mm-hmm. And there's three levels where she has gone into a crypt, a mausoleum, to apparently look for an extra superpower to help the mug, the cups.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets trapped and you have to stop all of these ghosts from getting to her. And when she's saved, she will give you a new superpower. And this happens three times throughout. But they confirmed in the downloadable content that's coming out that she's going to be a new playable character. But we haven't seen her played yet. And it's very interesting when she turns into the ghost at the end. So it's like, wait, so you're saying that the Miss Chalice from the downloadable content was the same ghostly Miss Chalice from the first one? And is this going to be a new power, a superpower that she has?
Mm-hmm.
Again, it hasn't been answered yet. It leaves a lot of questions, and I'm very intrigued to see how they go with it, both in the new downloadable content and with the next increment of episodes.
Well, I'll tell you what, Alexis, I very much enjoyed this. I enjoyed the experience of watching it with my kids. We had a fun conversation. The writing is pretty good, but no, you know, nothing is perfect. It can always be better. Even, you know, when we talk Oscar baits, we thought, hey, you know, the writing here could be shaped up a little bit better. And do you know of a product that helps you with your writing? Like when you're sitting there at your computer and you're making your Scrabble tiles and your Monopoly earrings and whatnot, and you have to write descriptions. You have to write descriptions, Alexis, to tell the people what these things are so they want to buy them and put them on their faces and stuff. And do you know what kind of product would help you write descriptions better and more effective to make those sales?
Why don't you tell them so I can have a drink?
Fantastic. Those products that we are referring to are Grammarly. For you listeners of TV Party Tonight, Grammarly is offering a free download of the Grammarly software. Grammarly's AI-powered products help people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps write mistake-free on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. So download Grammarly today. Go to getgrammarly.com/W2M network. Again, it's getgrammarly.com/W2M network to download Grammarly for free. Well, I think we got it, but in case we don't, is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we close for the evening?
I think I've said everything I need to say. Again, I warned you I was going to come in with my soapbox and my lectern.
Okay.
And again, this...
You didn't bang a shoe. I'm very disappointed.
I didn't what?
You bang a shoe. Have you not heard of the infamous Khrushchev at the UN where he's banging his shoe on the table screaming he's going to bury the United States without firing a single shot?
Right, yeah.
Yes. So now whenever somebody is angrily animated, I go right to Khrushchev banging his shoe.
Well, I'm not wearing shoes right now, but I'll make sure to bring them next time. Actually, no, I'm sitting at a glass table. I bang a shoe. I'm probably going to break this thing.
Well, you're also not particularly angry about this, as near as I can tell. The impression, at first, the impression I thought was like you didn't like this or it didn't do what you wanted it to. But it sounds like after talking to you for 40 minutes that it absolutely lived up to expectations.
It did very much. I really, really like this. There's several episodes that I've watched multiple times over. Mm-hmm. I've got clips of the Devil's Song, Cuphead's interaction when King dies, and the Ghosts on YouTube, and I've been rewatching them. I just love those little bits of the show.
All right, I highly recommend
this.
I know what I want to ask you, and this is where your real life and professional expertise actually come into play. Do you think you will see a lot of Cuphead-esque stuff show up in the cons this year?
Kind of hard to tell. I've seen a couple of Cuphead cosplays in the past. Mm-hmm. The problem is because of the style, they're very hard to mimic. Mm-hmm. I think the number one cosplay I've actually seen from the show was Calamari, just because it's a mermaid, so it's probably the easiest to do.
Is the game still actively played? Are people still into it?
Oh, sure. Definitely. And again, now that we got DLC coming out, I know it's going to get popular again. So I'm not sure if we're going to see a lot of cosplays or not, just because, again, this is a very hard style to translate mm-hmm. into that sort of thing. But I would welcome it. I'd love to see the creativity that goes into something like that.
Is it worth making jewelry for?
Possibly. I'm thinking about what I want to do. I don't want to just put pictures of Cuphead and Mugman on my earrings, obviously. I've never mm-hmm. done something like that. I always want to do something. My personal statement is, if I can't come up with a new way to do it that someone else hasn't done, I'm not doing it.
Sure.
And I'm struggling right now to think of how I can use Cuphead and Mugman, especially from the series, and really do something that hasn't been done yet. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
shame you don't have like molds or stuff. You can make like one Cuphead earring and one Mugman earring as a pair.
Oh, you have no idea how many polymer clay earring sets I've seen of that.
Oh, have you? Okay. Someone already beat you to it. Got it. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you'll come up with something for Honeysuckle Rose Creations, the where fandom meets geeks and cheeks.
I say it every show and you don't have it memorized.
I'm old and feeble and I don't remember things anymore.
I know, old man the mounds, and you don't want them painted.
God damn right. All right, so that wraps up our show here for Cuphead season one. We will be back for the remaining two seasons whenever they get announced. In the meantime, in between time, Alexis will actually be back. We've been joking about this all week, but, you know, I try to space everyone's stuff out over the course of the month. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And for the month of February, Alexis had nothing except this week. I piled four shows into one week. And then it's just the way it was. So she'll be back later tonight. She'll be with the Protocol son, Jason Teasley, who joined us briefly earlier. He likes to check in on my shows while he's working at home. And we will be talking the best written show I have seen in quite some time. It is leagues above anything Marvel did in the year of our Lord 2021. It is leagues doesn't even begin to describe how much better it is than anything I've seen from Star Wars of late. Peacemaker is flipping awesome. And I'm not just saying that because of the graphic nudity and sex and cursing. It actually is a very well-written show, though those are a few of my favorite things.
Let's just bow down to James Gunn right now.
Yeah, when James Gunn, when they take the handcuffs off of him and they, you know, say, go make your heart's desire, he really does come up with some fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I am looking forward to talking about that show tonight.
Yeah, so the three of us will talk about it at 10 o'clock tonight for those of you that want to listen live, and it'll be up later on YouTube and in any podcatcher that you find. In the meantime, speaking again of stuff we did with Alexis this week, we did the Book of Boba Fett. We spent an hour talking about that. That was her and myself and Andrew Graham. She was on the Damn You Hollywood for Uncharted. She had a break yesterday. Me and Pat Mullen talked
about break yesterday, and it was sent over to another podcast network.
So your husband must be ready to like get a hobby or something. Ships in a bottle, go to a bar or something.
He's actually fine now that I've moved my camera over, because before it was a case of whenever I recorded he couldn't walk behind me because he didn't want to be on camera. So now it's like, okay, I'm over in the corner, you're not going to be on camera. It's like, okay, do whatever you want.
Gotcha. Pat and I spent 2 hours talking about the end of the Monday Night War and the environment in which WrestleMania 17 existed. So that's why that one show was like 2 hour conversation, because we had to do a single solitary hour on the death of pro wrestling outside of WWE in 2020 and 2021. Sorry, 2000 and 2001. And then the evening, myself and Robert Cooper and Jesse Starcher reviewed the best album of this year. For those of you who are into heavy metal, this truly is just a rich, wonderful, well-orchestrated heavy metal album. Amorphis from Finland. They put out Halo. All the nerds agree. It's just the best. It's the best thing we've reviewed so far in terms of pure musicianship. So we talked about that last night. Big announcement on that, actually. We've been trying to figure out how we can do on-camera stuff for the Metal Hammer of Doom. And without getting in the weeds on it, we're going to go back to doing the Metal Hammer of Doom extras, which are just going to be a quick 5 to 10 minute reaction to a music video of a band we're doing a review for. So we're going to start that up next week with House of Pain, which we're doing for St. Patrick's Day. And we'll probably end up doing Jump Around or something like that. We'll see what happens. I'll figure out which video I want to do. But yes, every week that we do a Metal Hammer of Doom, we're going to do an on video Metal Hammer of Doom video reaction. So I'm looking forward to that. The Metal Hammer of Doom extras that Jesse and I did were hilarious. Especially, God, some of them, every time I think about them, I cry laughing. The one we did for Heaven Shall Burn, that was like, it was like an African student film. I couldn't breathe. We were laughing so hard. It was so. I know you're not a big metal fan, but if you've seen us, put the link up. Watch the video. The video by itself is worth it. It's so funny. Anyway, moving on. And then this was a rescheduled show. We were supposed to do it Sunday, but I lost power. Something in the neighborhood went down, and it took 12 hours for them to get it back up again. And by that point, I was done. I didn't feel like recording anymore. So last night, myself and Jason Teasley continued our celebration of black cinema by looking at 3 Spike Lee movies: Do the Right Thing, Malcolm X, and his remake of the Korean film Old Boy.
I still love how you were reacting about it. It's like, this is an unpleasant movie. I'm like, it's supposed to be unpleasant. It's Old Boy.
I don't know what the fuck Old Boy is. I didn't know what it was when I went before I watched it. He was like, watch Old Boy. And I'm like, yes, master. I literally had no clue what this was.
And so like that, I said, be thankful you didn't have to watch the octopus scene from the original. You've heard about that.
No. That's why when you wrote that, I was like, I don't know what you're getting on my case for. I don't know what this is. All Jason told me was, I don't want to do Bamboozled. Let me pick one, which I'm mad about, by the way, because Bamboozled is awesome. Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't. No, in the original Old Boy, in the Korean one, mm-hmm. He eats a live octopus.
That's what I've been told since that conversation took place.
I hate to say, it's like, I'm not like the big animal rights nut activist, mm-hmm. but watching the octopus try to get out of the dude's mouth is pretty fucked up.
I'll take your word for it. Anyway, yes, I watched Old Boy for the very first time. I didn't know anything about it going into it. I just knew Spike Lee directed it, which was the assignment. We talked about that last night. We spent 40 minutes on Do the Right Thing. I could have done another hour on it. I love talking about that movie. Things I also love talking about. We're going to have a re-air of our Everyone Loves a Bad Guy for The Wire from a few years ago. It's not 8 hours, I promise.
I was going to say, Mark Rattledge talking about The Wire. Hope you got a pillow.
Bring a sack lunch. We also did a re-air for the last Allegian album that came out just in time from the new one. The prior was Apoptosis. The new one is Damnum or Get'em Jit'em. And then we kick off Batman Week. We got an Everyone Loves a Bad Guy for Batman coming up on Saturday. And then we also have an alternative commentary that myself and Robert Winfrey, whether he remembers it or not, are doing. For Chris Colbert versus Hector Luis Garcia on Showtime, which is now a WBA super featherweight eliminator. Batman Week goes like this. We've got a re-airing of Batman Hush, a new review of Batman White Knight, the other half of our Long Road to Ruin we did of the old Batman movies, this time focusing on the two Tim Burton ones, the Dark Knight trilogy, the On Trial for the animated Gotham by Gaslight, and the animated Dark Knight movies, Haunted Night, the Long Road to Ruin we did for the first volume of the animated Batman the Animated Series, which I know is a big you're a big fan of. And then finally, we've got Gotham by Gaslight, the book, and a trivia show focusing on the legacy of Batman. So for all the Batman stuff coming up, since the Batman comes out a week from tomorrow, we've got a crap ton of Batman content coming your way.
We're going to be
following
so
week.
Sick of Batman by the time this is done.
It's a lot of Batman. Literally every Batman thing I've ever done goes up next week. There'll be no more after that. So they're done. So Warner Brothers, you hear me? Rock Rattledge, you're done making Batman stuff now. I've got no more content left.
I'm looking forward to hosting the Tripped Up Trivia where, yes, the theme is everything Dark Knight. We're going to be talking the movies, the comic books, and the TV shows.
Yeah, keep going. What else you got going on with yourself? Your other plugs.
I'm sorry. Are we done with our plugs and you want me to do my personal plugs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I hate to say I've been recording for you all week. I was like, wait, am I doing anything? Cuphead owes the devil his soul. I owe Mark Rattledge my soul. All right. And yes, Honeysuckle Rose Creations, where fashion meets fandom at the intersection of geek and chic. Remember that, Mark.
Got it. Fandoms and dirty chics. Got it.
I don't get paid enough for this. All right.
You don't get paid at all, as I keep reminding you.
Yeah, I know. I'd like to change that.
So would I.
All right. So, yes. Makers of handmade jewelry upcycled from old game pieces. You can find us on Etsy and Handmade at Amazon. Our shops are fully stocked, ready to go. You can always follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are getting ready to start the convention circuit again. Really excited about that. We're going to be heading to the Lexington Comic and Toy Show. It's a 4-day event. I've always wanted to work it. We've got Planet Comic Con coming up here in Kansas City. Home show, we never miss it. We're going to be heading to Springfield, Missouri for Vision Con. I hate to say it, I'd actually forgotten we were doing that one until I got an email. I'm like, oh yeah, I bought a table for that in 2020 and it got canceled, so I get a rollover.
Holy Christ, are you still digging out of 2020 cons?
Yeah. I have two shows this year that are 2020 cons, Vision nice. Con and the Greater Austin Comic Con.
Well, at least there's still digging to be had and not continued dirt on top of all of us.
Pretty much. Mm. Yeah. The problem was that last year, since when the vaccine came out, like within the first third of the year, we had a lot of conventions that were trying to get scheduled for 2021. So we had a ton of overlay, mm-hmm. and there were several shows that unfortunately were not able to get in just because with everyone now trying to get their events scheduled, it was too hard. There was a lot. It's like there's too much going on this weekend, or the venues are already mm-hmm. booked, or.
Did you see the email about MegaCon that I sent you?
I literally got that MegaCon email right as you sent that to me. Okay. He was like, I got it. I'm sorry, Mark. I'm not heading back to Orlando this year.
I just didn't know I didn't know if you were on their mailing list or not. So, in case you didn't get it.
I'm on their mailing list. And yes, the amount of voice actors going to that one looks amazing. And if
that was why I sent it, because normally I don't necessarily like, let me see how many cons I can send Alexis. I'm like, you run your own business. You're fine. I don't need to be involved. But I saw that one and I'm like, you might actually care about this because there's all these voice actors on there.
No, I really wish. But unfortunately, unless I can excuse myself for another trip to Disney World, awesome. I am not going back to Orlando for a while.
Gotcha.
Sorry. The drive itself was torture.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Are you just like to stay regional if you can help it and not transverse the United States?
Usually my rule is 8-hour drive max, unless it's for a special event. There are sometimes if I'm traveling with another artist, we split the gas on that. That'll work. Mm-hmm. If I've got family on that part of the country, so I'm not spending on hotel, that'll work.
Okay.
Or like with MegaCon, I can do a vacation down there and then it's like, oh, while I'm down here, let's also go to the con.
All right, so 8 hours in any direction, unless there's special circumstances.
Exactly.
Understood. All right.
Yeah, kind of hard to, you know, when you're doing these spreadsheets and you're actually factoring in how much everything costs, when you get to a certain point, it's kind of hard to explain why you're spending so much.
No, I get it. The expenditure outweighs the possible gain in sales. I get it. Makes sense.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. That should do it. Like I said, looking forward to getting back on the road. Looking forward to the conventions. Be sure to check out our shops again on Etsy and Handmade at Amazon. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
All right, folks, we'll see you next time. For Alexis Hanna, I'm Mark Rattledge. Be well, be safe, and behave.